What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Bruce. Today, we're talking about starting a pizzeria. We have a special guests on the podcast, and we are talking all about how they got started in their pizzeria, how it started in a brewery, how they figured out how to make dough, how they working as partners and friends, not really knowing anything about the pizza industry and how they're growing their business through marketing. Great episode today. I think you're going to enjoy this one, especially if you're new. If you're a seasoned expert entrepreneur, you may not get too much out of this, but you never know. These guys are just starting out. They've only been doing it for about a year and a half, but they're learning along the way and they're doing some cool stuff as they grow. And they have a really good community behind them, and we talk about that. The reason they're on this podcast is I put something out on Instagram about people joining me on the podcast, and a whole bunch of their customers kind of tagged them on there. So they obviously are doing something right where they're building the community of people who love their pizza. Yeah, and it's a great story. Before we get into today's podcast, I do have to say thank you to Baccio Cheese. Baccio Cheese, my favorite cheese to use at home right now. My wife loves it. My kids love it. If you're looking for some cheese to cook in your pizzeria that is very good tasting, it looks good, it shreds good. I use the whole block, and every time I use it, whether I'm using it inside the Gosney oven or on the bacon steel in my home oven, making a New York style, comes out amazing. My kids love it. All my neighbors love it because every time I had to get some out there to do some social media posts with it, I got to give these pizzas away, and everybody raves about how great it is. BaccioCheese.com/SPM. Get some samples for yourself. Reach out to them. They can hook you up. See if it's something that you're going to like. They'll let you test it out. I guarantee you're going to like it because I do, and I love them. BaccioCheese.com/SPM. And also, I get this question all the time. This other sponsor, Food Tech Solutions. What point of sale system should I use in my pizzeria? If you are a delivery takeout pizzeria, Food Tech Solutions is the point of sale system that I suggest you use because it encompasses everything. It has great order entry, so it's easy for your employees to use. It has great reporting features for you as the owner, and it also does amazing marketing. Emails, follow-up emails, sequential emails, all of that. And they have a cool app for your delivery driver so you can see exactly where they are. Say, well, you know what? Why did it take you 35 minutes to go two streets over? And you're like, oh, there was traffic. No, it wasn't. You went all the way around and went for a little bit of a joyride on your way back here. Please don't do that next time. This system does that. That's happened to us many times. foodtechsolutions.com/smartpizzamarketing. Go check it out. Or smartpizzamarketing.com/foodtech. It's the best point of sale system for a delivery takeout pizzeria. Highly recommended. All right. If you haven't yet, go subscribe to the SPM magazine. We're working on the next issue. March came out. Loved it. Thank you all who contributed and checked it out. Again, open source. If you want to contribute something, go to smartpizzamarketing.com and let us know what you want to write about or contribute about, and we will see if we can make it happen. Thank you so much. We'll see you on the other side. Let's get into today's episode. All right, fellas, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
I put something on Instagram, and you guys have a pretty good following. There was like 100 kind of replies to that post about having you guys on the podcast. So you've done a good job of kind of building up a loyal following. Good job on that.
They are definitely ride or die. They love to support, and we got a tight-knit little community that supports us, so it's nice.
That's great. Where are you guys out of?
San Antonio. Okay. Down here in Texas.
What made you, like, tell us a little bit about what you got going on for your business.
Okay, so, like, a little background. Me and AD here, we went to school together all the way from second grade. We're in our 30s now, so we've been lifelong best friends. This spot kind of landed in our laps in a weird way. There was a pizzeria that was existing here before we got here called Truth Pizzeria. They unfortunately fell out, and the brewery that we partnered with, they bought the space. And at the time, I was doing burger pop-ups on the patio. And they were telling me, they were like, hey, Thursdays are one of our busiest days that we have, and it's all because you're out here cooking burgers. So we're thinking about buying the space. How would you like to take over it? And I was like, okay, that sounds cool, but I can't do it by myself. So I reached out to this guy who was in the legal field for the past 10 years, and he was like, let me get my Christmas bonus, and then I'm all yours. And just kind of ran with it.
Yeah, it kind of was at a right time. I was kind of just fed up. I was in a legal field the past decade, and we always talked about doing something like this growing up, and it just kind of fell into our lap before we were ready, I guess, really, and we figured it out. 2022 is a I think it was around October. We just started research. We went through so many different kind of flours in that short 2 months.
Yeah.
Just trying so many different kind of pizzas until we kind of figured something out that kind of...
Learning a wood fire oven, making dough, finding the cheese that we liked. So many bad cheese pizzas were made just in the process of learning it. And because neither of us... I've been cooking for the past 15 years. And like I said, he was in the legal field. I'd never really done pizza.
Wow. So this was your first kind of foray into the pizza world?
I don't know what I'm doing, but we'll figure it out.
This was your first kind of foray into the pizza world?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, though. When we were 15 years old, 14, we worked in a little pizzeria in our neighborhood. It was like... it was the weirdest thing ever, though. It was a house of
pizza and Chinese cuisine. And they had two separate kitchens that were like L-form. So one side was all pizza and the other side was all Chinese food.
And sandwiches. Like it was a little bit of everything.
They did Mediterranean. It was all over the place. They had burgers also.
So it's funny, like a full circle now, you know, 15 years later, we're head diving into this.
That's pretty funny. So you've been doing it since 2022, you said?
Well, that's when so we opened the doors January 4th, 2023. That was our first day. But when I reached out to him, it was, I want to say, late October or November somewhere, or early November somewhere in there. And any off time that we had, it was like, meet me at the shop. We need to learn how to make pizza before we open.
Yeah,
we got a couple months to do it. So let's figure it out.
And what is your business? Like, give us the business model. Is it a brewery and you guys have a kitchen that's serving the food?
So how it originally started was we were operating, I guess you can say, kind of like a ghost kitchen.
Yeah.
So they rented the space. Everything was under their name. We ran off their POS. We can get into that in a little bit because that was a nightmare on its own. But yeah, and we just cooked the food. And at first they wanted it to be Black Lab Kitchen. And we were just like, well, I'm not going to invest. We signed a 2-year lease with them. And I was like, I'm not going to invest 2 years of my time to build something for y'all. And if you don't want to stick with me, then I'm just up the creek
right,
with nothing to show for it. So we started 2-1-dough and built a brand off that. And yeah.
That's interesting. What kind of oven do you guys use?
It's a Bel Forno. So I don't know if it was intentional or not, but the serial numbers are all scraped down inside. So I can't really... But
it's a hot oven.
Yeah, we're working on a hot oven. Got some good stones on there. We figured it out. But that's something we talk about all the time. We're actually investing this month into a couple small Gosney ovens.
Okay.
Met up with this guy named Rob. He runs the Texas district for Gosney, I guess. And we're looking to invest in some of those just so we can have a little bit more of a...
Open up caterings, do festivals, things like that. Because right now it's limited. If you want catering, then it's like we can go deliver it, or it's you pick up all your pies and you take them with you. But we'd like to do more on-site stuff.
So you're trying to get those like Gosney ovens that are more mobile, so you can kind of get your clientele that knows you. You can say, all right, if you have an event, a wedding, or whatever, we can get to your event and cook the pizza there.
We have a pretty solid crew right now, and all the guys kind of have it down to where if whoever's cooking, the pizza's going to come out consistent here in the shop.
Yeah.
So I think we kind of have that flexibility now to start going out, reaching more of an audience, you know, more sociable things, pop-ups. And we just started this Monday, our first Monday night pop-up, but we just did something completely different. We did chicken parm last night. I don't know if you saw on our Instagram.
I didn't. What was it? So to explain how that came about.
So 5 years ago, I started a pop-up in my backyard called Chi-Chi Bird's Hot Chicken. He helped me out here, there, popped in and gave me a hand. But I started that in my dad's backyard about 5 years ago, and grew that up to the point where I was able to get a food truck and have been running that. And so we have the food truck parked outside of the pizza shop now, and I'll do that on Sundays. And I was hesitant to do it at first because I was like, if I'm out there, it's going to take away from sales from the pizza shop. But it's kind of helped in a weird way.
Huh. So you have a pizza truck and you do it out of the kitchen in the brewery?
So the chicken, all the fried chicken from Chi-Chi Bird's, that all happens in the trailer. Okay. And then the pizza is all inside. So yeah, but yesterday we did a chicken parm collaboration, and some people were like, how are you going to collab with yourself? They're both your things. And I was like, they're both my things, but they're separate. So why not?
Right. It's a good way to test things out.
Yeah. And it was great. We were supposed to be open till we were open from 5 to 10, and we sold out by 7:30.
Wow.
So
that's great. How do you start? So let me ask you this. How do you start a pop-up in the backyard? Like, how do you get people? Like, how does that happen?
So I think I lucked out with that. When I started Chi-Chi Birds, it was before Instagram had changed the algorithm. And it was more on, like, time-based. So whenever you posted something, depending on what time it was posted, you got to see it. And I want to say it stayed like that for about a month. And I just had, like, garage sale signs out front. And I had some people come by and they were like, so are you selling live chickens? And I was like, no, they're plates.
That's
It's a big thing here in San Antonio and Texas in general, where people will do fundraisers and it's usually barbecue plate sales.
Yeah, yeah.
But just to change the narrative of that and do something different. And originally I was going to do tacos, but I'm in a world of tacos here. So people that I had talked to, they were like, you need to do something from your travels, either out in Colorado, California, or wherever else you were at, and do something that you missed from there and bring that here. And I was like, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to do hot chicken.
That's fine.
And, yeah,
where'd you cook it? In the house?
No. So bought a couple outdoor fryers. They sell them at Academy. And okay. Budget was small. I think I had like $600 when I bought a fryer, which took up about half of it. A couple folding tables and chicken and potatoes and stuff. And opened up shop.
That's awesome.
We go outside of bars downtown and just fry chicken.
That must have been fun, though.
I think what made it cool was he would post the address like an hour before, and like it was real secretive because if not, before everything was legitimate, we would get shut down pretty often for not having the proper paperwork and stuff like that.
Wow.
So there's a way to go around it. I don't know how people that do barbecue plate sales get to buy it, but if I ever posted like a day before the pop-up was actually happening, health department would be there and show up midway through my shift and be like, what are you doing?
Really?
It's like, I'm selling chicken. Yeah. They'd be like, you can't do this. And I'd be like, oh, well, everyone go home.
Is it just you can't sell it or you can't, like, you just can't sell it for money, right? Like, you could give it away if you wanted to.
Yeah. Right? Once you're open and you're providing to the public, that's when it becomes a thing where the health department wants to get involved.
Wow, they were monitoring you that closely that, like, you'd post the day before and then they'd show up every time?
A good amount of times. So that's why I was like, look, just stay, keep your eyes on the page, turn on your notifications. I'll post it an hour before and then show up and get there early because who knows what's going to happen.
That's funny. And so that turned into enough money to kind of get you where you are now.
Yeah, yeah. Was able to save up money, got into a food truck, and that moved around a couple times. We were started at one bar, went to another bar, and now we're here. And it's good also when I do this for the people that don't know that I run the pizza shop, when they come and get chicken, I'm like, go inside, go get a slice of pizza, or go get a pie, go get some wings, whatever it is, and if you don't want to do that today, you at least know that we're here doing this now.
How many pizzas are you guys selling a day?
It's varying. It's so like he was saying, we started off as a ghost kitchen this year. Now that we've got our own POS system, I'm actually tracking everything. I would say in a day we're it's varied, but between 50 and 70. On a normal day, and then Saturday and Sunday.
On the slower days, yeah. On Friday.
Get up to 100 and some change, I would say. Our guy makes about 6 pull-ups a day. That gives us about
30 doughs each, so around 180.
That's pretty good.
On our yeah.
And are you open from like 11 to 11, or what's your hours?
We're open 3 till 10 on Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, we're open 12 to 10, and then on Sunday it's 12 to 8.
That's good. That's a good amount of pizzas for those hours.
And it's you'd think we were trying to be figuring it out now, but it's so weird. Like 1 week we're just killing it, and it's like, hey, we need to ramp it up, and then next week we'll ramp it up, and it's kind of like,
and then we're just sitting on dough.
And I'm like, all right, well, what do we do with all this extra dough? And now we're trying to figure out, little ways to keep it alive. But I think it's this part of the life. And it's, you know, it's starting to help. We got with Toast recently. We did a 1-year contract with them. I'm glad I only did 1 year because I'm already trying to see some things that I'm just fond of. But just the reports though are really helping me though. You know, understand a little bit of what we sell more on. It's funny, like Saturday and Sundays when we open at noon, those are our sandwich days. Like our focaccia, we make focaccia bread in house as well, and those fly out the door early in the morning. So this kind of just helping us see that, but it's really weird on the pizza. Like one day I tell you we're slammed all day, and then we'll amp it up, and then it's just mellow.
Yeah, it's hard in the pizza world. It's hard to kind of gauge consistency until you have like a year or two under your belt, because then you can go back and look at it. It's not the same month to month. It's really the same like month over last year's month, right? So like you'll start once you get to January, or you can probably look back at January this year and compare a little bit to last year, but you just opened, so it may not even be that comparable. But like once you get to the 2, 3, 4 year mark, if you can make it that far, not you guys, but like a pizza shop in general, then you can kind of go back and see the history of, okay, it was the holiday this weekend, the kids were out of school this weekend. Yeah. That's when you can kind of see the consistency. It's hard to go back and say, all right, what did we do 2, 3 weeks ago? Because sometimes it's like weather dependent, it's holiday dependent. It's not the same.
Yeah. We've been consistently, you know, luckily we're staying around like the 7 to 10 a month margin. I want to push that up more. We just started our deliveries this year since switching over to our own, you know, POS system. And that's slowly starting to pick up. I've seen about maybe an extra 7 come from that so far.
That's pretty good.
I think what I'm trying to learn too, right? One big thing I think we both agree on is we want to be open and available for anyone to come in without breaking the banks. And I know you guys talk about that a lot on the show. I think that's where we struggle on is I got other places here in town, they're charging $20-something for a pepperoni. And I'm like, you know, I feel horrible if I do that myself, but yeah. I get it. It's the business side of it.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you got to pay. I think you should, I think there's some places out there that charge too much, right? Like there are some places out there that kind of overcharge, but you have to be in your margin. It depends on like what kind of business you're running, like what your overhead is, what your food cost is, what your labor cost is. Yeah, that all goes into consideration. You don't, just because someone else is charging $22, you don't have to if you can get away with it and making enough money. But
and me personally, just as a consumer side, if I see a $22 cheese pizza, I'm gonna be like, whoa.
Yeah. Like, especially in your area, right? It's like probably different in New York.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Even my area, like $22 is a little pricey. It's like there's different types. I think it depends on what type of restaurant you are or what kind of pizza you have. Because like there's a lot of takeout places near me that $22 would be high. But there's restaurants that charge $22, but you go in there and it's a different environment.
Yeah, and I mean there's one thing about San Antonio, and I've always tried to keep that with any of my concepts, is San Antonio likes to eat a lot of food for a little bit of money.
Do they?
And that's something, when I first started Chi-Chi Birds, my plate for $8. And unfortunately with COVID and inflation and all that, now they're at 14 now. And I can't see myself, even if I can't take a loss on it, of course, but even if it gets any higher, I'm like, I don't feel comfortable raising my prices higher.
Yeah.
Just because I know what it is that I'm serving. And as a consumer, if I was coming up to the trailer, I'd be just fine paying for that, knowing that I'm going to get a full plate of food. Or even here at the pizza shop, it's like, we can do, what do we do our cheese pizzas for? 15?
I think 16, 15, yeah, 15. Yeah.
Somewhere in there. Anywhere between. I think they might be 14. I think they're 15 though. But that's a price that I'm comfortable when you're getting a 14-inch pie with a fermented dough and a cheese, a sauce, and everything is made in-house. We don't shred our cheese. We throw it through a meat grinder. We like the way the texture that we get from that. So, but it's all time consuming, and it has to be self-sufficient. Everything's got to pay for itself.
What do you try to do when you price out your menu items? Like, do you go by, all right, this is how much profit we want to make, or do you go by like 30%, whatever it is, food costs, labor, utilities, rent, all that stuff? Or how do you price it?
So realistically, before we even had food costs, we mainly just looked at our competitors' pizza, and we were like, where are they at? Where do we stand? How does our product match up to theirs? We have this one place here in San Antonio called Dough, and it's rivaled as some of the best pizza here in town. I don't think it's good, but you didn't hear that from me.
Yeah, okay.
But they go and charge. I think they're one of the places that charge like $25 for a cheese pie. Wow. And I was like, we're not going to be there, but we can be somewhere in the ballpark in between there and I don't know, the big three. So I think we found a happy medium. And at the end of the day, it's pizza. So
yeah,
I know realistically I can charge $10 for a cheese and probably still make profit on it.
Yeah, but then you'd be like hustling. Yeah, it's like then you have to go on volume, right? Like, and then you're like you're trying to just get exactly as many pizzas as you can. It's like you got to have a happy balance where you're like, I don't want to stress myself out trying to sell 500 pizzas a day and make $1 each,
yeah,
versus 100 pizzas and make $5 each. It's the same at the end. It's like, do you want to work more and harder to make, yeah, the same money, or do you want to have a better product and be like, all right, we don't need to sell as many, yeah, exactly, to make the same money?
Yeah, exactly.
There's a balance, right? Like, if you have repeat customers, then you're not overpricing yourself.
Yeah. And I think that's something that I'm really grateful on. We have a really good repeat customer base. And I think, I know I've heard you talk about, you know, when you're as confident, and we're pretty confident in our product, first one's on us, you know, because they're going to come, yeah, back. But I feel like people are really just, they've had the pizza and they come in and you see them all the time. Like, they're like friends and family. Like, we're, and I find out, you know, San Antonio, we're kind of in like a big racetrack. We have 1604. It's a one big out highway. And then we have a small highway, 410. And I get to know these people and they're coming from outside of, you know, the highways and stuff like that. So they're actually making a little travel, 30, 45 minutes every other weekend to come hang out with us. You know, and I think that's really important to us, because that's going to be a following that we can keep for life as long as we keep consistency.
Yeah. Plus, like, that's like, there's so many, I'm sure there's like my area, I'm sure in yours too, there's a lot of pizza options. Yeah. So if people are traveling far, mm-hmm, to come to yours, that means your product's probably pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing that's really helped us out also is we've just been stacking up 5-star reviews. So
yeah,
we're pretty close to the AT&T, the Alamo Dome, the convention center and all that. And people will be like, oh, I just hopped on Google and looked up food and y'all came up first because it's 5 stars. That's awesome.
I had laughed a while back. I had heard one of your podcasts. I think you said, if you had 5-star reviews, I don't trust you. Something like that. You're like, you're rigging the system. And I was like, no, these are actually all generic reviews, though. Like, I swear, these are all generic. Like, I think it comes. Caleb was always back of the house. He's a chef. He's the mastermind of everything. But I was, you know, and he has great customer, you know, service. But I was always front of the house, and we're always just talking to our people, just interacting with people. And I think it's kind of different. Most places you go, right, no one really talks to you. The cooks don't talk. The chefs aren't talking to you or anything like that. Right here, everything's made right in front of the window. No one's like, we have a counter that separates the dining room from the pizza line. So everyone's just shooting the shit half the time. So it's like, kind of just makes a little family oriented, yeah, / friends out of everything. And it's really cool.
I mean, you can tell, because like I said, when the beginning of the podcast, I said, hey, you know, we put a post out there, like, who should we talk to who's doing some cool stuff? And you guys got tagged a lot. So you can tell your customers are enthusiastic about your pizza. I think, so you said you just recently got Toast. I think that what would help you guys is like doing some text marketing and email marketing. Make sure you're capturing contact information.
Yeah, and we've been building the database a lot. I mean, I'm constantly getting emails, names, numbers, and I'm just slowly adding them in. But one thing though, I noticed with Toast though, it's like I had to pay another $25 a month though to use that feature, which I get it, it's probably worth it. But that's like the little things I'm starting to notice. I'm like, okay, I'm starting to have to pay for every single add-on.
Yeah.
You know, with this. But I mean, I get it. It's the business. You got to pay to play. But we have been, we've been collecting all that stuff. And it actually works out. I know he does it every now and then. And I try to do it when I can. We're new to deliveries. So I try to text him or even call him just to follow up on the order. See, yeah, how it was.
I mean, if you notice, you should be able to make that money back though, right? Like $25 a month. I know,
yeah, right,
but it's like, Cather, like, even if you use an outside email provider, like a MailChimp or ConvertKit or Constant Contact, you're going to have to pay that just to store the emails, even if you don't send anything.
Yeah. No, I think it's worth it. I think we're, this is our first year. Like I mean, we're 2 months in and we're just starting our own. So it's kind of, it's new and I'm, yeah, learning it. And I mean, I see it. It's worth it.
If you use it, right? Like, it's worth it if you actually hit send and you actually send out emails.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I'm sure.
It's, you know, it's just the bones, right? We got to put the meat in it and actually, yeah, make it worth it.
I think if you do text, like, if you do text and email, it'll may help with that you know, the ebb and flow of business on a week-to-week basis, mm-hmm. right? Like, you don't have to send an email every week. You can send an email or a text out in the weeks that are kind of slow and you got some stuff going on. Maybe you could throw a discount in there to help them, kind of nudge them to come in.
Yeah. And I mean, I've heard you talk about it in podcasts before where it's like, I don't want to just send them the menu every time I send an email out. I want it to be something, what's going on with the shop, something that we're doing for the community, or I want it to be engaging. I want people to actually want to open it instead of being like, I'll just put that in the spam folder because it's the same thing I get every week.
Right.
So, and that's something that we're trying to amp up more on is more engaging marketing. We just installed TikTok and we're trying to learn TikTok. And
we're only 30 years old. I feel so old trying to figure out TikTok. I don't know how to understand.
Yeah.
I don't get it. And I know we always, we've been slacking on our social media presence because I'm kind of like, I want it to look so professional and well put without, you know, doing it in-house. I think that kind of also is a con on our end because I don't post as much, but we're starting to post more. And, you know, I feel like I have a pretty good, you know, feedback on social media when we do post.
And I've been telling him, I'm like, just post.
Yeah.
Just post. Like, even if it's not the greatest post, just post. And eventually you post enough, something's going to stick.
You never really know what works though until you do it, right? Like, you can second guess yourself all day long, but you never really know what works and what doesn't until you actually hit post and then go back and look. And then, like, even if it sucks, no one's going to remember it 3 weeks from now.
Archive it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much information coming in all the time where it's like, oh, that was a cool video. Let's go to the next one.
Yeah, your post is dead. A post you posted 2 weeks ago, no one's going to see. Unless they happen to go to your profile like I am right now and, like, scrolling back. But who does that?
Yeah.
Very few people do that.
I kind of think we shot ourselves in the foot. Because I heard you, Secret Pizza out in L.A.?
Yeah.
So I was like, man, with me, my whole thing with my concepts with Chi-Chi Birds, when I first started that, it was one plate. This is what it is. There's no mods. You get everything that comes on. If you don't like it, you can take it off.
Yeah.
My burger concept, I have one burger, comes as is.
I like it.
If you don't like it, it's probably because you're a child and it's time to grow up, kid. Like, this is what it is. But when I got here, it was like, okay, cool. We're doing pizzas. We're doing sandwiches. We're doing wings, we're doing salads and
running around and make a couple bucks.
Yeah. And I mean,
it's hard
sell, and that's why they stayed on the menu. But I was just like, man, what happened to my whole idea of, like, keep it short, keep it simple, and just focus on pizza?
I don't think people think it's sustainable. I don't think people think just making pizza is sustainable. So they're like, you just think like, oh, what if someone doesn't want pizza, they want a salad, or they want a sandwich. I want to be able to serve that person when they call. And that's, you know, I made that same mistake. That's why I always tell people, if they ask me, like, don't. It's easier to add salads on after you open than it is, like, right now. Like, go try to take salads off your menu now. There's going to be, like, an upheaval of customers being like, what the hell? Salads are gone?
Oh, yeah. I have this guy that comes in at least once a week and gets an arugula salad with chicken.
Yeah, shout out to that guy.
Yeah.
No, so. I mean, even like even our sandwiches, though, man, we took off a couple sandwiches and, like, no one really orders them. That's why we took them off. But there's those couple people that are like, why'd you take that sandwich off, man? That was my sandwich. I'm like, well, you weren't coming enough. You're only buying one a week.
Yeah.
Like, I need more.
Exactly. Like, that's exactly what happens. And then they'll go leave you a bad review.
Yeah, and I mean, so something I'm going to start implementing is our employee of the month, and the employee of the month, whoever wins it, it'll be a vote between all the employees, whoever you think killed it, vote for them, and they'll get to create a special. And it doesn't have to be a pizza. It can be a pizza. It can be a sandwich. It can be whatever. It can be a wing flavor, whatever it is that you want to do, and we're going to highlight that for that month until your time's up, and then it's on to the next person.
I like that.
I think that'll be a fun little – it'll give us something to post for content, because we'll do, like, a picture of them, a little description, and then on their following post, it'll be like, this is what he wanted to dish out, and this is what we have now.
Do you – how many employees do you guys have?
We're up to five or six.
And how are they, like
– We finally hired an accountant, and we always count ourselves an employee, so he told us to stop doing that. So we used to say we had eight employees.
Yeah, you don't. You guys aren't employees. Yeah.
You do you? How old are they? Are they young people, or are they?
They're all around our age.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think I think our youngest employee is maybe
he just turned 19. Actually,
Dylan is the youngest. He's
I'm sure he's.
And I wish younger. We could find more younger employees too. Sometimes, but that's kind of just hard. It's hard to find.
Yeah, you know, it is. It's
hard to find consistency.
It's hard to find people who are like qualified to do the job that you need them to do, right?
My second youngest employee is Russell. Shout out to Russell. He's my dough guy. And he's 26 now, but man, I've had a lot of nightmare employees where I'm like, where you at? I never had to worry about that kid though. He might go out and run around the town till 5 a.m., but then he's here at 5:30 making the dough for the next day. And I'm like, he's a good kid. I love that kid.
That's awesome. Take care of him then.
He's been a great help.
Yeah.
He's been a great help, you know, in this 2 years that we started.
And before, when we first opened, we were doing, we have this type of bread down here. I'm not sure if you'll have it up there, but they're called Bolillos. They look kind of like footballs. We were doing all of our sandwiches on that. And we bought them from HEB because they make them fresh daily there. But he was like, I really want to start making focaccia. So go for it. He made it. We tried it. And we were like, that's bomb. And he was like, you want to start putting the sandwiches on this? And I was like, if you can keep up with it, I'm not trying to put extra work on your plate. But if you want to do it, run with it.
I think there's a picture of it on your Instagram, right?
Probably.
Yeah. Italian, spicy Italian. I think that is that the focaccia bread you guys make?
Yeah, that's actually
that looks good.
Big sellers.
You guys make that in house?
Oh yeah. 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 We slice all of our meats, all of our cheeses, and that sandwich when it comes out, man, you have to be part snake because you have to unhinge your jaw to put that thing in there, man. It's a feat. Whenever I get to see someone complete it, I'm like, wow, you did it.
Without making a mess.
That's crazy. Yeah, I was just scrolling through your Instagram. Your pizza looks good. I do think you guys need to post more, though. Not trying to call you out on it on the podcast, absolutely. But, like, just post a little bit more. And Reels, too. Like, we were looking at Reels. It's funny you mentioned TikTok because my daughter sent me a TikTok. I'm trying to get him on the podcast. She sent me a TikTok. I forget the name of it, of the pizza shop. But it's like the employees are running the TikTok account, and they have, like, 100,000 followers, and their videos get, like, tens of thousands of views, and it's just like random stuff. It's not even really anything about pizza. It's just like about the behind the scenes of like the funny things that happen in the pizza shop to the employees and with the customers, and they have a pretty good following. I wish I could have my phone on me. I could look it up, but I'll send it to you when we get done with this.
Yeah, sounds good.
I'd love to check that out.
We talking about that a couple weeks ago, like starting to record our day to days, like get better at just recording the day in a life.
Yeah.
You know, people like that catchy stuff, day in the life of a pizzeria owner or two friends owning a pizza shop type thing. Like, and just put the different, because in the morning, he's either coming to the shop and starting prep, and I'm going around buying the ingredients for the day. And it's like two different worlds that we're living in. And we come back, meet in the shop, and then start the day.
That'd be great for stories, like on Instagram stories or even TikTok stories now.
Yeah.
Or even YouTube, like YouTube would be great.
Crying in the walk-in.
Yeah. Just come in the back of the closet and just crying, stressed out.
Everybody that owns a business can relate to that.
That'd be a great idea.
Yeah.
I think one thing I always catch myself singing around the shop is like, nobody said it was easy. No, we're like that one song from I think Coldplay or whoever it was.
Yeah.
Oh man!
But it sounds like you guys are having a good time. Like, what's the plan for you guys in the future? Do you think you're gonna be out of that brewery and like open up your own shop, or what is it?
Honestly, people say when are you gonna open up another location, but I kind of like the idea of just having one location and at least making sure we can have this permanently ironed out until we ever even think about growing. But in a perfect world, I would love to expand and take over not the breweries like.
Brewing,
not the brewing side of it, but by the taps, the keg system, and you know, start bringing in beers and sell beers. And I think that would also help, you know, that extra income from wine or beer or something like that. We just started selling sodas. I know it's not much, but even that, you know, even that's been helping us. You know, the sodas that we sell.
That's easy, right? Because you don't have to do anything.
Exactly. Here you go.
Yeah,
and that's yours,
right?
But I mean, we've noticed too, like investing wise into our future. As much as I love the wood fire oven, when you're cooking, you know, 20 pizzas at a time, that floor starts getting real cold on you quick. and things start going wrong, pizzas start ripping, or pizzas aren't cooking correctly. And we found an oven out in Austin. I don't remember the brand, but it's usually around a $70,000 oven. It's for $18,000 right now.
They're big rectangles, but they still have flames that come up on all three sides.
It's got an infrared bottom, so it just stays a complete temperature at all times.
That's interesting.
I thought about maybe going and investing that and throwing that in like storage until we're ready to build something.
Is it gas?
It's gas.
Yeah.
It's gas. You can throw wood in there if you want also, but.
Yeah, whatever can make it easier and more consistent is the best way to go. I know people love wood-fired ovens, but they're, like you said, they're hard to, you have to really be talented in really focused in order to like maintain it and have every pizza come out consistent.
And I think we have it down. We really do have it down. But there's times where we get hit, like, or we'll get a 30 pizza like catering order. So we're on top of service, and it's just like
chaos.
All right, we got to start this. We got to start these 30 pizzas. Yeah. You know, we have a little dead time. Let's start them now. And then we're halfway through, and the orders are coming in. And then the that's when it starts to become a nightmare. That's when we start thinking, all right, what's the fix to this solution? But I personally love the wood fire ovens just because of the crust that it gives you, the rise and everything. I love that.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think we'd be switching to deck ovens. We for sure would want to keep flame, but I actually was able to find it. I'm not sure if you can see that or not, but.
Oh yeah.
And in there we're able to fit. So we do 14-inch pies. We'd probably be able to fit at least 10 in there at a time.
And then how many an hour?
Right now, 5 or 6 in ours comfortably. If we're feeling risky.
How many? So five. You said 10 at a time. So probably, what does it take to cook? Like 7 minutes.
From stretching to finish, I would say we can have a pizza out in about 5 minutes.
Yeah. What temperature are you cooking
at? In our oven, if everything's right, a little less than that.
So we use a high gluten flour. So we keep our, I feel like we can't get away with doing, because we're not using 00 or anything like that. So I feel like the pizza cook is different. So we're not at like a 900 degree oven. Yeah. We're more around 700, 720.
Yeah, because your pizza doesn't look like a Neapolitan style pizza. It looks more like New Yorkish.
It's closer, I would say, but we try to make it like our own, like, you know, I feel like we don't want to say Neapolitan, because then if you become happy, you're like, well, this isn't really Neapolitan.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, well, it's the closest probably to Neapolitan.
And if you say it's more like New York, I'm like, no, it's just, we'll just call it San Antonio style right now. And
just a couple of Texas boys.
There you go. Probably better off with that.
It's a wood-fired pizza. We'll keep it short.
Yeah, wood-fired pizza.
But, you know, something though.
Yeah. You
know, a lot of people just do their traditional pizza, though. We kind of push. We started off with a chorizo salsa verde based mozzarella, chorizo, corn, and red onions. And that was the first pizza that we kind of showed to San Antonio, like, hey, try something different than your meats or supreme. And we already knew everyone likes salsa verde around here, and everyone likes chorizo. So they tried it and they loved it. And once that kind of gained their trust, we started doing different pizzas. We did a Brussels bacon.
Brussels and bacon, the potato. The
potato pizza.
Yeah, I saw the potato on your Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah, and just different things, though, and I think that's kind of something we wanted to be known for. We're like, hey, that's that place you can go get a really good pie that's, you know, going to be a little different than your normal place.
That's what makes you different, right?
I feel like down here, and what's that?
That's what makes you unique and, like, your own spin on things.
Yeah. And that was something I really wanted this spot to be, was something that wasn't – you can get a pepperoni pizza anywhere.
Yeah.
So if we can stretch the boundaries – and that was one thing I was telling him when we opened. I was like, well – yes, I want to be known for the people that do the weird and out of the ordinary pies here in San Antonio, but we still have to make a killer pepperoni. We still have to make a good supreme.
Our number one seller is a pepperoni still.
Like, it always will be.
If we can't do that right, they're never going to try anything else. So.
That's exactly. Like, I won't go. If I go to a place and they have cheese or pepperoni sucks, I won't try anything else.
Yeah.
And that's
I respect it. I mean, that's true, right? Like, why? If you can't do that right, why? I'm going to try anything else.
I have a friend, Spiro, who has a place here. It's called Easy Pie, and he does, like, these wacky pizzas. And he always fights me when I say that because he's like, dude, my pepperoni and cheese isn't that great. But I'm like, yeah, I kind of think yours isn't really pizza, though. Like, yours is, like, a different kind of thing. He's not going for, like, the traditional, like, if you want a cheese pizza or a pepperoni pizza, you're going to think of him. Like, you wouldn't. You'd think of him if you want, like, I don't know, some crazy creation he came up with. So it's like, I don't even put him in that category.
Yeah, he puts hummus on it or something.
Yeah, he puts like crab rangoons, which is not a bad idea if like you do a Detroit style. But he puts like a potato pizza, it's not potato like slices. It's like mashed potato with like I don't know.
Okay,
it's crazy. He got like, a whole bunch of crazy pizzas he does. So.
Yeah, we got some crazy stuff coming up, and I don't want to say it because I don't want it to show up before I'm ready. But yeah, keep an eye out. We're gonna bring some Mexican taco favorite things to our pizzeria.
Tag me on Instagram when they come out.
Yeah, and it's like when we're trying to come up with like new menu ideas. It's like, okay, what's gonna trigger like a nostalgic hit?
Yeah,
and what's something that isn't too far out of the ordinary from San Antonio. And like I said earlier, we're in the land of tacos. So usually when we're gravitating towards doing something like that, it's like, okay, Tex-Mex.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. And we're basically just replacing a tortilla for crust.
Which it goes well. Like, that's a good thing about pizza. It's like, pizza is very versatile. You can put anything on a pizza dough. If the crust is good, right? Like, you can make anything work.
This guy's over here working on a chicken pot pie one.
There you go. Yeah,
He's stuck on it.
I love it. It's so good.
It is really good, though.
It's so good. cheese, though, so it throws me off every time.
That's great. This has been fun, guys. So 21 Dough Pizza Co. on Instagram. The number 21 Dough Pizza Co. is your username on Instagram. You guys working on a website still? Or do you have a website that people can go to?
Yeah, I've been slacking on that. But, yeah, it's being worked. I probably should just pay for it because I'm doing it on the free side. So that's why it's taking so long.
Yeah, but you don't really need much information. All you need is like contact info, a couple, you know, bulk page, and then a link to your online ordering. It doesn't have to be super complicated.
Yeah. Luckily, it's 21 Dough Pizza Co. throughout all social medias as of now that we have. And then I bought the domain too, 21 Dough Pizza Co. So that'll be on once I get that.
So coming soon. We'll link all that up in the show notes for this episode. Guys, is there anywhere else or anything else you want to tell folks who are listening to the podcast? Anywhere else you want to go? TikTok, same thing. 21 Dough Pizza Co.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Don't go anywhere yet, but I appreciate you hanging out with me on the podcast today.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, boss.
Thanks to the fellas at 21 Dough Pizza Company for joining me on the podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you want to reach out to me, home base is over at smartpizzamarketing.com. Everything we do, the podcast, the new YouTube show we're doing, the SPM show, where I visit pizzerias. Great couple videos that we've done so far, and they will only continue to get better as we do it more and more. I love going into these pizzerias, showing you like behind the scenes, talking to the owner, kind of like I do on this podcast here, but then also showing you the kitchen and everything that goes along with running that particular pizzeria. Go check it out over on YouTube. You can hit me up on Instagram. I am at Smart Pizza Marketing, and thank you so much. Very much appreciate you listening to the podcast. We'll see you right back here next week, everybody.